is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming FanDuel DraftKings. I'm your host, Sean Kane. We have a Monday MLB slate. We're going to jump straight into it today. I hope you had a great weekend. No NBA basketball. Really ridiculously. I mean, I'm literally Thursday and Friday night. What do I do? Well, I don't socialize, so you can go ahead and scratch that off the list. Like, why didn't you go out? I have two toddlers. I'm perpetually exhausted. Repairing drywall? That's what I did for fun on Friday night? Sanding, spot priming, different places in my house where there's been drywall damage from, like, the house settling. Caulking seams. Yeah, re-caulking things in the kitchen. That's what I did with no NBA playoff basketball on television. It's dark. The times are dark. And honestly, the transition, and I'm sorry, everybody who's like, well, you just watch baseball. May baseball is not NBA playoff basketball. It's not a one-to-one. This is not one-to-one, you guys. You can't just pretend like it's so easy to switch from the most exciting postseason sport that there is to baseball in May that's virtually irrelevant. Come on, it's just not the same. Anyway, all right. Enough. We got baseball, though. Baseball, MLB DFS has been a lot of fun. Friday night was fun. Very nice slate. So many home runs right out of the gate. It was like that first hour. It was like boom, 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 boom. Cooled down a little bit, but man, that was an intense slate. Plenty to talk about tonight. Plenty to like on this slate. The ball continues to be juiced. It is juiced. The ball is flying. So we are absolutely going to have to break down some of these offenses that and I think there's some good options. I really do. I like some of these spots. I think there's some sneaky spots and there's some, you know, pretty obvious ones that I think a lot of people will be interested in. So let's take a look at tonight. Then we'll get into a player breakdown, give you guys a player pool to work with. All right. First game of the night is happening out in Kansas City, 7 o'clock tip off. We have nine run total with Tampa Bay visiting Kansas City. Ryan Yarbrough versus Eric Skoglund. Yarbrough, a rough outing last time out. Both teams almost about 4.5 runs in this 9-run total, but Kansas City, slight home favorites. That's just the hometown edge that they're getting there. The big story here, weather. 30% chance of rain right starting at 7 o'clock, and then it gets a little bit worse in that 8 o'clock hour, and gets better, and then it gets worse. So I definitely see this game, probably they're going to try to play it and then maybe a potential delay. I don't know that it looks like postponement type weather yet, but we'll keep an eye on it as you get closer in. I think keep an eye on the weather. I don't think you were pitching either of these guys. The numbers have been pretty bad on Skoglund and Yarbrough, but I was interested in some sticks here. I'm not going to lie, interested in attacking these two pitchers. So we'll tread lightly, figure out what we can do with the weather there. Who knows? Seattle in Minnesota, that same kind of Midwestern system seems to be affecting Minnesota. So we will also have weather here in a little bit worse, a 60% chance of rain starting right around first pitch. It trails off a little bit. It gets better as the game goes along. So again, you could get a delayed start maybe, and then, you know, push it back, but we'll see. We'll see what that looks like as the forecast gets a little bit more clear. A 9.5 run total in Minnesota, the highest total on the night. Wade LeBlanc, Jake Odorizzi. Minnesota, slight home favorites, but both teams implied for over 4.5 runs. So could be a good night for offense. Unfortunately, these two games where you have good totals at 9 runs, you're looking at potentially having to avoid simply because of the weather, which is a little bit of a bummer. Oakland in Boston after their series in New York, they will go up to the Red Sox. 9.5 runs in Fenway. Weather looks great. A little bit of wind out. Not a lot, but a little bit of wind. Sean Manaea versus Rick Porcello. Porcello, the one-run home favorite here. 5.2 implied for the Red Sox to the 4.2 for Oakland. Not a bad number for Oakland against Porcello. A great number for Boston against Manaea. And, you know, Minaya's been one of those guys. It's hard to see which Minaya you're going to get. I mean, you can get, you know, you can get shutout Minaya, and you can also get the Minaya that absolutely blows up. And he got absolutely destroyed in that. Well, not destroyed, but he got beat up in his last two starts after having some really, really impressive outings. I'll be interested. Boston is not my favorite matchup, but that was the team that he went 9 innings, 10 Ks. That team that he had the no-no against. I was double-checking to make sure it was a no-no. So he no-no'd this team. Don't know if he could do it again, but he did. So we'll keep an eye on it. And he's a lefty. Honestly, there's some appeal here because Boston is not hitting lefties. They're just not built to do it, and the numbers prove that out, and it's just kind of a systematic thing that we're not worried about lefties. We're going to hit righties. So it could be an interesting spot for Minaya. Porcello, he showed us the Porcello of old last time out, hard contact problems. I always liked getting on Porcello just because I think name value got people interested in him. And then you started to realize that he gave up a lot of hard contact. And so you would get players, you would be able to get stacks against him at lower ownership. I don't know that I'm going to do that here, but it's an interesting idea. And we'll talk a little bit about it. Moving over to Detroit, 8.5 runs in Detroit. Weather. This whole system across the Midwest is going to be a problem. It's going to cause one of these games, I wouldn't be surprised, to get postponed, but certainly going to be some delays in these ones. This is Cleveland versus Detroit. 8.5 run total here. The Indians look like they are in a phenomenal spot. They're pitching Carrasco versus Mike Fiers, implied for 5.2 runs. It all lines up. You're loving the lefty stack. It worked out really well the other night. So Cleveland seems to be coming together, by the way. Their offense seems to be, you know, coming back strong, which we knew they would do. But it's just kind of still nice to be able to get some of these guys at relatively inexpensive prices. Kipnis, Alonso, you know, those guys are both below 3K. I don't know that we're going to be able to go there. And Carrasco is even a bigger risk. I love the profile versus Detroit. Righties versus Detroit, it's been a great trend, but 40% chance of rain from first pitch on, you could absolutely end up having, no pitching from Carrasco. So a lot of risk in that game. I think that's probably the biggest risk that we see here on this slate. Milwaukee in Arizona. After Coors, they go down to Arizona, where it's an 8-run total tonight. Junior Guerra versus Pat Corbin, 4.3 runs for the Diamondbacks to 3.6 to the Brewers. Corbin looks like he's in a good spot. I'm interested here to break him down and think a little bit about him versus the Brewers, who have been swinging the bat. We know they strike out. Sure, they can hit home runs, but against a lefty like this, I'm a little bit more scared of their lineup versus right-handers than I am their lineup versus left-handers, although I will say you never love that little Aguilar, Santana, you know, all those guys. They just have a lot of guys who can be pesky, but I don't know. I'm not that worried about it. I'm much more worried when you have Travis Shaw in the mix there. And Corbin has been solid. Astros Angels, 8 runs in LA. Astros are road favorites, pitching McCullers versus Andrew Haney here. A nice night in LA, of course. And Haney has been fine, but Astros versus the lefty scored 6 runs yesterday. I think this offense is going to start to pick it up in a little bit. You know, as we get a little bit warmer, I think you're going to start to see them settle into themselves. And you know, the pitching for them has been good. It's been the bats that have been a little bit quiet. But I'm interested here potentially versus Haney. I think it could be, based on Haney's numbers, I think maybe the Astros go slightly overlooked. Because Haney's been good. I mean, you know, he's been very solid. But I'm not necessarily scared of him with this offense. You know what I mean? I'm never scared of the Astros offense versus any pitcher. I mean, unless it's one of the big bigs, but, you know, whatever. Rockies Padres, 7 runs in San Diego, 3.4 for the Rockies, 3.5 for the Padres. They are slight home favorites with Tyler Anderson and Joey Lucchesi pitching here tonight. I like both of these pitchers. I think it's an interesting spot. Then again, if you wanted to talk me into maybe some of the bats here, there could absolutely be an argument, especially for the right-handed stack in Colorado. not all that often do you get these guys at low prices and versus a lefty. Now, Lucchesi's numbers have been good on the strikeout side. His batted ball profile, not so good. It's kind of resulted in a mixed bag. You clearly see that this kid has stuff, but he's got to polish it up a little bit. Cincinnati, San Francisco, 8 runs up in San Francisco. Sal Romano, Chris Stratton, half run favorites here, San Francisco, with Stratton on the hill. Romano's been rough, but so is the Giants offense. So I think he actually, strangely enough, I think the Cincinnati side of this is very interesting. I think it's kind of fun. You know, you have the lefties, you have Winker, you have Votto, you have Scooter, you have Schebler. There's four right there. They're not particularly expensive. Winker and Schebler set off the pricing. And of course, we know Peraza and Suarez have been hitting very well in that lineup, and they make good middle infield options as always. So I'm interested in this Cincinnati lineup. They continue to hit lefties pretty, or excuse me, they've hit the ball pretty well. And so I think this could be a fun spot. Let's get into the player breakdown. We'll talk about pitchers. We'll talk about stacks and get you guys started with some of your lineups today. Who do you love? All right, let's take it to the top of the slate here with the, pitcher breakdown. Of course, you know, you have Corbin right there as the highest priced pitcher, and I think he's in a situation that we like. He's in a situation that you absolutely should be interested in versus Milwaukee. I don't mind his price at all. I don't really have an issue with what, you know, he's been doing. And I do think it is pretty real. 2.63 Sierra, you kind of, you know, based on his career body of work, you would say like, oh, geez, I don't know about that. That doesn't, you know, is that going to hold up? Well, the reason, you know, you like it is because he's got a swinging strike rate at 15% right now. Walk rate is down. So clearly the command is there. Okay. Hard contact at 37%. Okay, fine. Fly ball rate, though, consistent with what it's been his entire career. Ground ball rate right there, consistent with what it's been his entire career. He's just simply seems to be generating more swinging strikes and it seems to be more comfortable, hammering the zone. So he's just got good quality location. He's dusting lefties as a lefty himself. So that's great. And righties really are, they're hitting the ball hard off of him, but it's not anything that I think is alarming. Right-handers are hitting the ball at 42% hard contact rate, sure, but nearly 50% of those are ground balls. Okay, so he is keeping it on the ground, even if it is hard contact. So I like the way that Corbin's working right now. I have no problem, going to him. The one issue that I will say is that he has not gotten, he did not get into the sixth in his last outing, and a quality start is at times questionable for him. There's a lot of guys who you can very quickly and easily count on for the quality start, but Corbin has missed that number. He had 1, 2, 3, 4 straight quality starts before his last start. Okay, so through the month of April, he was consistently getting there. There is certainly a lot to like here versus Milwaukee, a team that versus left-handed pitching right now is ranked well below average. In fact, they're 29th in the league versus left-handers with a 20% K rate. So plenty of strikeouts here, plenty of room to work with for Corbin. I think he makes a lot of good sense. I just kind of wish we could get Carlos Carrasco. Carrasco versus Detroit here, it feels like there's absolutely, you know, more of a ceiling for what he is doing, 25% K rate. But then you look at the swinging strike at 14%, a 14% swinging strike rate, a solid walk rate at 5%, hard contact even lower than Corbin. Fly ball rate higher, but the hard contact lower. I always like that. So you're at 3.4. Carrasco, we know, he's just got a ceiling. And the thing about this Cleveland staff is one of the things that I like, you notice sort of when certain pitching staffs, organizationally, managers, I don't know if this is an organizational thing or philosophy or managers do this or pitching coaches or whatever, they handle kind of consistently will handle their guys, you know, similarly. And it really does seem like Francona will let guys cook. As long as they are cooking and they feel good, he will let them go and save his bullpen. I mean, Carrasco has gone 9 innings twice. He's gone into the 7th twice. And if he's not throwing it well, he's going to get pulled. And that's actually been a thing. And let's be careful about that, because there has been 3 different outings in which Carrasco led up 4 or more runs before the 5th inning. So there is a possibility that he gets hit here. I just don't see it with Detroit. Last time out against Detroit, 9 innings, 6 Ks. Complete game. Not a shutout. He gave up one dinger, but a complete game, a very, very solid outing for Carrasco. Only 31 batters faced in that stretch. He was excellent. So I just love the ceiling with Carrasco. I like the way he works. I think, you know, you're looking at his last outing versus Milwaukee, and this is actually then becomes an argument for Corbin, but last outing for Carrasco against Milwaukee, 14 Ks, 9 innings. Come on now. So a lot to like with Carlos Carrasco and Patrick Corbin. I think either one works depending on your lineups. The problem with Carrasco is the weather. The weather is going to be an issue, and it just is going to push everybody on to Corbin. Makes good sense to me. You can't pitch a guy with there's over a 60% chance of rain. If it stays that way, I think you're going to have to get away from Carrasco and just go Corbin and feel comfortable going there. Unless you want to go down. If you want to go down to Lance McCullers, I could see that too. McCullers is cooking right now, man. 27% strikeout rate, 13% swinging strike rate. Sierra at 3.4. And you're probably saying to yourself, well, yeah, but Sean, I mean, come on. The Angels. Guys, I say this. I've said this before. This offense is great. They're disciplined. They're, you know, a ton of guys on this team. There have been times when they don't show up, and you take the numbers versus individually versus right-handed pitchers, and sometimes it just doesn't scare you. So I think that McCullers is the kind of guy who, you know, immediately and quickly goes overlooked. And, you know, nobody gives him the time of day here in this situation, because it's the Angels and it's Mike Trout and he's on the road and all that kind of stuff. And fine. By the numbers, though, the only individual hitters who are actually doing damage against right-handers this year for the Angels are Justin Upton and Mike Trout. That's it. That's it. That's all you have to worry. That's a lot to worry about. But in my mind, that is what, two solo shots, maybe that kind of thing. Maybe you're dealing with that. I don't get as scared of the rest of this lineup versus right-handers. It just doesn't worry me. Now, I do not like the way that they are disciplined. They are back down to not striking out. They're at about a 19% K rate. I don't love that. And so if you want to stay away from McCullers for that reason, fine. But, I mean, again, 27% strikeout rate, 13% swinging strike rate. We know the ground balls will be there. A 62% ground ball rate to go with that K rate is just a recipe for success. I like it. You know, I mean, he's faced down some tough teams. And pitched very well. He got a quality start with 5 Ks against the Yanks. It's a way to be aggressive on a slate, on a smaller slate with limited pitching options, and everybody goes to Corbin. It's an interesting way to be aggressive. If Corbin falls flat and McCullers makes it through 5 or 6, then you have an interesting opportunity. Do I think it's a perfect play? No, it's not. And there's a lot of good reasons why you could easily say to yourself, too much risk, not doing it. Angels are too disciplined. They could create a lot of base runners and McCullers could get in trouble here. I get it. I think actually one of the more popular pitchers will be Tyler Anderson. And I like it. I think it's sharp. He's going to be the GPP I want bats pitcher, no doubt about it. Numbers aren't perfect, but they're very good. 4.2 Sierra is the one that you kind of go, and a 45% fly ball rate. Well, if he was at home, you'd be worried, but he's not. He's on the road in San Diego, great pitcher's park, so you get the fly ball rate. You know, it's going to take it easy a little bit there for you. He is got a 10% walk rate. Don't love that, but here's what you like. 25% K rate right now and a 13% swinging strike rate. That 13% swinging strike rate indicates to me that that K rate could go up in a game-to-game basis if you get some teams that'll swing. And guess what? The Padres swing. Versus lefties right now, they're 22nd in WRC+, 26% K rate. Love that spot for them. Absolutely interested in attacking them, no doubt about it. Still not quite as good as the matchup with Milwaukee, but an interesting spot. Anderson has pitched against San Diego twice this year. Two quality starts, one with 4Ks, one with 8Ks, one with no earned runs, one with two earned runs. So he's been solid. You're not going to get a ceiling-type performance from him. I mean, the ceiling for him this year was 7 innings, 9Ks with two earned. But I do think you could get a very, very solid quality start performance from Tyler Anderson in this situation. And I think people will go there because if you can get 30 or 40 points from Tyler Anderson and, you know, maybe you get a 50 burger from Corbin. Well, it's a good way to be different in your well, it's not different. It's a good way to get bats is really. I don't think it'll be different. I think people will go to him. No doubt about it. All right, let's talk sticks while we're here. Looking at, Vegas is telling us to love Cleveland. And I love Cleveland, implied for the one of the highest numbers on the slate versus Mike Fiers. And Fiers has been kind of a mixed bag, to be honest with you. But the numbers continue to indicate to me that he's just not that good. 36% hard contact rate, 43% fly ball rate, and only a 15% K rate. So that to me says no thanks. Not a good pitcher. He's gotten through some games. He's limited how many runs he's allowed. But I think against a team like Cleveland that's starting to get themselves together versus right-handers, he has plenty to like about attacking Fiers, and a lot of that comes from what he's going to allow to left-handers. Okay, 11 of his earned runs on the season are coming against left-handers. He's allowing a 403 wOBA and a 621 slug. Yikes. Okay, and he's allowed a 37% hard contact rate, a 26% home run to fly ball ratio, and a 40% fly ball rate to the lefties. And you just have a murderer's row of capable hitters on this team. And so anytime I get to, involve myself in a Cleveland stack, I love it. Because 1 through 6, everybody is capable, right? I mean, that's the great thing about a Cleveland team is that, you know, not only is the plate discipline there, but the home run potential is there for 1 through 6. The ability to load the bases and start to string together runs is there. They just stack together well. I've had a lot of success with them in the past. The issue, of course, is rain. Rain, 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 rain. Okay, Fiers could be the pitcher you see. Well, it could be a bullpen, could be postponed, and then in which case you get, you know, 2 innings of action, nothing, right? So we have to be concerned about the rain, but if we're not concerned about the rain, if we get a favorable forecast, Lindor, Brantley, Ramirez, Encarnacion, Alonso, Kipnis, all in play for me. I love the prices we're getting on Alonso and Kipnis. No problem going 5-6. This team has the plate discipline to extend innings and get them, you know, a reasonable 3-4 at-bats, especially with the way those guys are hitting at the top of the lineup. I mean, you saw dingers from Lindor, Brantley, Ramirez this weekend. Everybody's sending the ball over the wall. So zero issue with them. Now, Lindor and Ramirez, they're expensive. And so if you want to go with a little bit of a price savings, you can definitely do Brantley, Encarnacion, Alonso, and Kipnis. That's fun. Of course, you're going to have to use that flex position between Encarnacion and Alonso, but I always think that's unique. Committing to two first basemen from one team, always an interesting way to go. But the numbers are there versus Fiers. I have zero issue going to Cleveland so long as we get a good weather report. The Red Sox have the highest total on the slate. And we got to talk about this versus Minaya. Now, there's two ways to think about this. One is the Red Sox aren't good versus left-handers. This makes no sense. And Minaya threw a no-no against them. And it's all true. He went 9 innings. He did not give up a hit. He gave up a walk or two. It wasn't a perfect game, but had it through a beautiful game against them. And you look at it, it makes sense. Boston is 28th in the league in WRC plus versus left-handers, a 24% strikeout rate. They're swinging way too hard at lefties. It's just not working for them versus left-handers. They're built to hit righties, and they're doing that. They're smoking righties. They're literally the best in the league against right-handers. Enter Manaea. Manaea's been solid, okay? He's been very solid. Obviously, if you start your season with a perfect game versus one of the best teams in, or excuse me, a no-no versus one of the best teams in baseball, you're very solid, and the numbers are there. 21% K rate, not overwhelming, but everything else makes good sense. 42% ground ball rate. Fly ball rate, right where it's supposed to be. The walk rate, super low. Hard contact, right where it's supposed to be. And you know what? Sometimes when I'm saying right where it's supposed to be, what I'm saying is it's in line with his career averages, which means that he's throwing the ball the way that he wants, the way that he feels comfortable. It's working. The way that he is supposed to be pitching is happening, right? That's kind of what I mean. Indicators that say like, okay, steady as she goes, everything is aligned, right? The BABIP is extremely low, and that's concerning. A 186 BABIP is not going to stay. And so a 3.6 Sierra with a 186 BABIP, you're going, okay. You know, in a career Sierra that's always been over 4, yikes. You know, that's just not, it doesn't feel right. And so you say to yourself, well, this Sierra is going to bump to 4 at some point because he's not a really big strikeout guy. You know, he can generate swinging strikes, but he's not a huge strikeout guy. Is it going to jump up past 4? When is that going to happen? And we started to see the cracks show a little bit in his last start versus Houston. 4 earned runs across 5.5 innings. You know, not a lot of walks, but some hits. And so you start to see, like, maybe there's a second time around effect where they know what he's going to throw. They know what he's going to be using. And that's what happened with Houston. Second time around. First time around, he went 7 innings, 7 Ks. No earned. Second time around, like I mentioned, 3 Ks across 5 innings, 4 earned. So does it make sense that, you know what? Nope, they're going to see him a second time. They're going to get after him. It's going to be a problem. Yeah, that makes good sense. I have no problem with that narrative. I also just, when you have a high quality pitcher like Manaea, I think you still are, you tread lightly. And it makes no sense that this team is bad versus left-handers. It doesn't. They should be good versus lefties, and I think they will be at some point. Between Mookie and JD alone, you can just pull this team up by its bootstraps, but it's really what you need Hanley. You need Hanley and Bogarts and Devers to start hitting, and I don't know if Devers is still... Yeah, he's in the lineup. He's all the way down at 8th, though. Or excuse me, not Devers, Nunez too. Yeah, the Red Sox stack is interesting. It's not my favorite. I would much prefer Cleveland. But the reality is if we can't play Cleveland because of the rain, I'm probably going to end up with some Red Sox shares. And you know what? It's because I trust Vegas. That's it. Sometimes, guys, you just say, you know what? Vegas likes it. I like it. I trust it. Because there's a lot of guys doing a lot of research on that run total. And I think that it's interesting to think about whether, you know, they have the scouting report on Manaea. They're not going to let him no-no him at home. So let's be bullish on the Red Sox here and think Manaea takes a step backwards, which it all sets up to be that way. It really does. The BABIP, everything. I do think, though, as a pivot kind of expensive stack, if we don't get Cleveland, I think that I'm going to probably also have some shares of Houston. Haney's been good. Haney's been really nice this year. But Houston versus a lefty. I mean, you don't sneeze at that. They're 7th right now in WRC plus with, you know, we know that they have the ability to leave the yard. This team can hit lefties very, very well. Last year, I think they had the highest WRC plus versus left-handers. And so Haney, while he has a 25% K rate, he's been very solid with an 11% swinging strike rate, 7% walk rate. All the numbers look very good, right? Batted ball profile looks solid. He got the hard contact a little bit under control. Sierra's there at 3.6. He's been nice. I still see some cracks here. And the cracks come in the fact that he has allowed earned runs. good teams are getting to him before the sixth inning. And so you look at a team, you know, San Francisco put up 7 earned on him. That's not a good sign. Baltimore and New York struggled a little bit, but I still think that this is a good potential opportunity for us to get to some Houston stacks as pivots. And of course, it always starts with Springer, starts with Correa and Altuve. Those three guys are obviously great left-handed hitters. Well, they hit left-handers very well. They're expensive, and I realize that you may not be able to get all of them in there. So, you know, I always say Gurriel and Marwin are interesting because of that team's ability to, you know, extend innings, et cetera. But the numbers are fine. They're not great. And Bregman has not started hitting yet. So, you know, certainly some concern. Marwin has been really struggling. I think you probably go Yuli over Marwin here at this point. And Altuve is struggling, too, against lefties. So they just haven't. The one thing I will say, they have not had a lot of at-bats against left-handers this year. So I think some more reps that they could get against lefties, the you know, the better off they will be. The other thing I will say is this. Springer's still destroying left-handers. 395 ISO. He absolutely is annihilating them. Absolutely annihilating them. So George Springer, great one-off, no doubt about it. Holy shit. States are free to legalize sports betting. Supreme Court decision just came through. Literally just my phone buzzed thinking maybe, okay, lineup notification, whatever the case may be. I look at it. Boom. Washington Post. States are free to legalize sports betting. Well, great way for us to lose more money, guys. And our kids will grow up in a world where it's not hard to put quick money on your team, just like they do in England. Yeah, I love those little betting kiosks whenever you're in the UK. Those little betting kiosks that have the tickets all over the floors that kind of look like paycheck advance places. I love those. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like somebody just pops in there with a cigarette and they're like holding their cigarette out the window. Like, yeah. Let me get Everton. That's just a very romantic notion of what has happened there. I'm not completely sure that's it. Enough about that. Houston, fine, great. Okay, moving on. Moving over to some teams that I think are interesting. Are they going to play? Two teams that I want to get involved with, relatively interesting price points and good matchups. Tampa Bay versus Kansas City. They're going opposite of Eric Skoglund. And then Seattle versus Jake Odorizzi. But let's talk the Rays here versus Skoglund. Skoglund's numbers, bad, right? 20% K rate. Not really generating a lot of swinging strikes. 4.3 Sierra, allowing the fly ball to 40% of the time. The hard contact, however, all the way up at nearly 50%. And we've seen him struggle, especially with righties. The Rays actually have some righties, so there's certainly plenty. There's plenty to like with the Rays righty stack. Nearly 50% hard contact rate. Plenty of fly balls to both sides of the plate. Now, what do you do with the Rays? They're not really an offense that you want to get. You don't want to get a ton of exposure because, believe it or not, the Tampa Bay Rays have been known to fall flat at times. But currently ranked fourth in WRC+. They've been able to be, you know, generate some consistent offense. They're not striking out as much as they once were. And if you want to get them versus lefties, they're not expensive, which is great. You've got a relatively inexpensive CJ Cron, Daniel Robertson, Wilson Ramos, you know, all of these guys, Echeverria, you know, they're going to generate base runners. Nobody's more than 3.5K. I think for me, it's just that top five. And you get a lot of middle infielders, so you can easily use this sack to kind of, you know, fill in Cron, Duffy, Ramos, Robertson, Echeverria. They're all interesting to me. As long as this game goes, they're not going to blow the cover off the ball. The one guy who might actually get it all the way out is CJ Cron, so make sure you have him and Ramos, right? Ramos is good at it's not a great night in Kansas City, though. Like, the rain is there. So you get the value, you get the differentiation, but do you get necessarily do you actually get the game, right? That's what you worry about. Now, Mariners versus Odorizzi. They're actually kind of road dogs here. So I can see some people saying, well, I want to go to the Twins. That's fine. Vegas likes the Twins here. I like the Mariners in this situation, even though Robbie Cano just went down. I still think that we could get some interesting, an interesting combination of players here, specifically D. Gordon, Kyle Seager, Gene Segura, those guys. I think that they absolutely could hit Odorizzi in this situation. And frankly, Odorizzi's numbers just underwhelming, right? I mean, that's kind of who he is. 4.9 Sierra, 53% fly ball rate. That's the one thing that really stood out to me. Ball's getting up. Ball is getting out. So we need to be a little bit careful with the weather here, but I do think that there is something to go off of here. The other thing about Odorizzi is that he does struggle with right-handers. And, you know, there was a time last year where he was kind of a reverse splits guy. He'll generate the Ks versus right-handers. But the batted ball profile is still there versus right-handers. The fly balls are definitely getting, he's definitely allowing them there. So you could definitely get some righties from the Mariners in here. I think the core of what I would do is probably, Haniger, Gordon, Seager, let's see what happens with the lineup based on the Robbie Cano being out. I don't know how much it'll change, but it might change a little bit. So you get the lefties, maybe you toss in Haniger there as an additional righty or Gene Segura as an additional righty. Of course, Nelly Cruz can always go, but you usually save him for lefty situations. So, I think it's an interesting way to be different. It's not my favorite spot, but I just don't trust Odorizzi, and that's part of why I want to attack him. All right, let's be different. I think really interesting ways to potentially differentiate tonight come from the Oakland Athletics and then the Reds. I like the Reds as well. Two reasons, okay? First of all, I think Porcello is getting... If you've listened to this show before, you know I have a thing about attacking Porcello because he allows hard contact. And as the hard contact comes back, we are going to want to be on the right side of Porcello slowing back down and normalizing a little bit. And here's the reality. He had a great game against the Rangers. He's had a ton of stellar outings. What happens? New York comes in, 5 innings, 5 earned, 8 hits, 3 walks. He allowed 11 base runners across 5 innings. Not good, okay? Not good at all. And why did that happen? Well, 50% hard contact rate. And the reality is he did that in the Texas game as well. Small sample? Sure, fine. Those two games, hard contact. But this was the bugaboo last year, was the hard contact rate. So I am always ready to pounce on Rick Porcello on the off chance that he is going to start allowing dingers, because he does. And I think that you could easily talk me into saying, all right, let's be aggressive here. Let's get after Oakland. This team can hit. They can hit well. They, even against a good, they destroyed Sonny Gray. And I was all over that on Friday. I was like, this is not going to go well for Sonny Gray. He's not pitching well. It's not going to go well for him. And they got to him. And I think I want to go back to the potential of people sleeping on Oakland here. 4.2 runs is not a bad number. It's not a bad number on this slate. Of course, it's always Joyce and Olson as the cheapies, and Olson got out of the park. Matt Chapman hitting righties really well also. Zero issue with Jed Lowry, Toskin, Chris Davis, because he always hits righties as well. So those are my guys right there. The numbers tell you. The numbers tell you. I mean, Jed Lowry right now, 286 ISO, 445 WOBA versus right-handers. Chris Davis, 289, 334. Chapman and Olson, 219, 322, 172, 320. Everybody above 320 with the WOBA. Everybody's above 150 or 160 with their with their ISO with a little bit of power here. So I like this Oakland team. I like their ability to generate runs. They're aggressive. Everybody can hit home runs. Like a poor man's Cleveland, right? Like everybody can get the ball out. You feel good about that. You know that they can generate base runners as well. So Porcello, if you want to be aggressive here and stack against somebody who I know people will pitch, then fine, go for it. Especially with the limited, you know, more weather options. We're going to have three potential rainouts. You're going to have to kind of consolidate some of your stacks here. So Cincinnati, one of the lower totals on the night, 3.7 on the road, Pitchers Park, San Francisco. But I love the lefty stack. I think it's very, very interesting to get after them. They're not particularly, you know, they're not really hitting right-handers that well. By the numbers, they're not there, okay? Stratton should be able to do, you know, feel a little bit comfortable with the team. WRC plus at 85, 24th in the league. It's not great. The profile, you know, fine. I get it. You're looking at it and you're going, Sean, that's a little aggressive, pal. 3.7 runs from Vegas. They're in a terrible park. I get it. I understand. But last game of the night, no one's going to play them. Stratton has had a propensity for hard contact this year. 42% hard contact rate, a 4.57 Sierra. The swinging strike rate is not there. The walks are all the way up at 11%. He's not really generating ground balls, 36% ground ball rate. He's got a negative fly ball ground ball ratio. That's not good. Okay, and he's allowed, where's this split? He's allowed it to both sides of the plate. The lefties and the righties are getting to him. So I just, if you want to be different, the red stack I think is an interesting way to be different. With a low total, they're going to, you know, not get a lot of attention. But I think going after Stratton, who has... you know, there were some flashes last year where we looked at this guy and we were like, ooh, he could get a little bit underrated. But at the same time, I mean, we're talking about 2 earned runs, then 6, then 3, then 5. I mean, Dodgers, Braves, Phillies, a total of 14 runs in his last 3 starts, barely made it out alive from the Dodgers game. Got through a quality start against Atlanta, did not get through a quality start against Philadelphia. So there's moments where this guy struggles, and I think that that's a situation I want to start to take advantage of and be early to the party, not late. This slate is complicated because we're going to have to deal with the weather issues, and it's hard to really know what you can do and what is going to be in play at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock, and that's what late swap is for. You're going to have to eventually have a team that you can swap to if you need to. I would swap to Cincinnati. I think they could be interesting. So let's take a look at let's see if we can throw together a quick lineup for you guys. Of course, I'm going to do, start with the top here and start with somebody expensive. And I'll go to Corbin just because it's sure thing that we will have him available to us. I think I would probably then also go with, let's go to Cleveland, and then let's go to, let's see if we can get some Tampa Bay. I think that balance will work just from a financials standpoint. Yonder Alonso, I want him. I would love Jose Ramirez. I know I can save at shortstop with Echeverria, although I don't know, is Echeverria second base now? Let me see. No. Okay. Robertson is second base. Echeverria. Yeah, there. That's a good saving spot. Okay. So, well, let's go back to this Cleveland stack. I'm going to go Alonso, Ramirez. Let me get Brantley in there. And, let me get this Encarnacion as well. Let me get 4. Okay. So Ramirez, Alonso, Brantley. There's a 4-man Cleveland stack. Now I'm going to go over to this. I'm going to go over to Tampa Bay, see if I can get some savings. And I'm going to probably use. I need to get some. Well, CJ Krohn, I can't put him in there. He's first base. I may have to edit this a little bit. Let's see. Ramos, can't put him in there either. That's actually tough. Okay, wait. So let's go. Let's get off Encarnacion. That's going to complicate things. Let's go to. Let's get Krohn in there. Although he's very similarly priced to Encarnacion, so let's think about that. Second base, I think Robertson is going to be playing batting third. Or is that Duffy? I'm looking at it right now. Sorry, I'm trying to balance both things here. Robertson's batting second. Okay, great. Fifth. So great. We're going to get Robertson in there. In the five hole, we need some outfielders. Well, that's a pain in the ass, isn't it? Because the outfield for Tampa Bay is a little bit thin with right-handers. So Cargo is not – he's been way down in the lineup because he's just not hitting very well. All right, I hit the pause button, workshopped a little bit. Cleveland, Tampa Bay cheapies, get some Tampa Bay value in there. And then I actually used the A's to round it out because they had some outfield options that I like at their prices. So it's a three-man Cleveland, three-man Oakland, two-man Tampa Bay. Patrick Corbin at the top. So Corbin with Alonso, Ramirez, and Brantley as my Cleveland core. And then Oakland is Joyce, Davis, and Olson, those three. And then Tampa Bay, Daniel Robertson, and Echevarria. So you get a little bit of value from that Tampa Bay lineup. You know, using those cheapies is a nice way to get value there. And you get some upside with the Cleveland home run hitters. Those guys can all definitely hit homers, and you get home run hitters in Oakland. Not a great matchup for them, obviously. They have, you know, Porcello, but just kind of needed to forcing function there to get some value in the outfield. And there's outfield-wise, there's some teams that are tougher to get involved in, Tampa Bay and Cleveland being two of them. So a little bit tougher to find maybe some outfielders this slate than usual. I mean, I say that. There's plenty out here. All right, guys, that is it for me. Good luck in your contest, and we will see you tomorrow.